Bright blood. A lie. See through the lie to truth. Simone. Zachary. Roland. Carol. And more, and more. One truth in the lies. Where is the truth? All are dead. That is the truth. Now, rest. Just rest. Mind, body, spirit. Know his truth is death, and don't follow. Peabody, run those names and all combinations. Simone, Zachary, Roland, Carol. Add Bright into them. She says Bright too often for it not to mean something. I already am. Rourke continued to work his PPC. Give us a few minutes here. It's a dicey job on a handheld. McNabb, tag Feeney. Let him know we need the lab. It'll go faster at Central. Considerably, Rourke agreed. We'll load up her electronics, take them with us. Let's move. Peabody, let Dawson know the sweepers need to send samples of anything she'd have consumed to the lab. Officer... She read the name tag of the uniform on the door. Kinsey, hold here for the sweepers. Yes, sir. They hauled down Dupre's tablets, links, desk comp. Rourke, narrow the search, crossing the names with psychic and or medium work and licenses. I didn't just come down in the last shower of rain, he replied, and slid into the passenger seat. What does that even mean? She gauged the traffic, cursed it, then shot away from the curb. She felt the first real crack in the case, needed to widen it, and snarled at the fat, sticky knot of vehicles in her way. "I'm going in hot," she announced, hitting lights and sirens. In the back, Peabody said, "Oh, boy," and clamped her hand on McNabb's. Focused on the work, Rourke simply tightened his seatbelt without glancing up. "I might have something on Zachary. One Anton Zachary lived and worked as a spiritual consultant in Prague from 2049 to 2052. Closed up shop. Relocated to Kashmir. Where? Himalayas, darling. And there he went missing on a mountain trek and is presumed dead. The dead don't kill." Judging an opening, she punched for more speed. "Got an image of him?" "I do. Age 48 when he dropped off the grid. No marriage, no cohabs, no criminal." "Hmm. Try an image match with the other names," she began, then caught his quiet stare as she hit a fast vertical to circumvent vehicles that wouldn't get the hell out of her way. "Fine. If you're so damn smart, why aren't you a cop?" "You've just answered your own question. Image matches will go smoother and faster in the lab, but I've got something here on Roland. Angus Roland, spiritualist, Edinburgh, 2045 to 2048. Relocated to Istanbul, where he drowned in a boating accident in the Sea of Marmara. Body never recovered. Isn't that interesting?" "It's bollocks, that's what it is." "Image? At a glance, no match, but with a bit of work. Ages are wrong by a few years, but only a few. Changes appearance and ID, fakes death after a relocation. The world's a sick playground." Eve ignored the wide eyes of a pedestrian foolish enough to try to beat the sirens, swung hard to miss said idiot, then zipped back to avoid a collision with an oncoming rapid cab. "Stop muttering, Peabody," Eve ordered. "She's praying, Dallas." She caught McNabb's grin in the rearview. "This is some wicked ride." She hit vertical again, did a kind of mid-air two-wheeler turn to take the corner tight enough to have the glider-cart operator doing business on its scrambled back. "Wasn't that close?" Eve said under her breath. "Glorified grifter, that's what he is. If the other names don't run the same, I'll kiss McNabb's bony white ass." From the back seat, McNabb snickered. "How can I lose?" The comment pulled a reluctant laugh out of Eve as she arrowed towards Central's garage. and with the scream of tires and the squeal of brakes, she shot into her slot. "Thank you, Jesus, Buddha, and the goddess Morgana." On shaky knees, Peabody climbed out. I covered my bets. Lab. Eve double-timed it to the elevator. 3 or 4 years in one location. How long's he been in New York? How long does he stay after he scores? She rode up to her level, cops and staff and civilians clambering on and off. I need 5 in my office. She bulled her way off. I'll be right behind you. She needs to put Dupre on her board, Rourke commented. Acknowledgement. We'll get him. Since Eve wasn't there, McNabb wound his arm around Peabody's shoulders, gave her a squeeze. On the scent now! When they got off and turned toward the lab, Iggy Callender crossed paths. She wore a hat with snowmen dancing around the brim, and a scarf of purple, yellow, and green in lightning bolt stripes, both courtesy of Peabody's talent with yarn.
Yo, heard you caught a hot one.
Scalding. You out?
Was. Scalding?
Total, McNabb confirmed. Multi-search, single name cross, global, image matches with variants. Background deep, on the bogus front, missing and presumed.
True? Psychic deal, yeah?
True. Fresh DB on the slab.
One assist?
Won't say no.
All in.
She pivoted, walked with them to the lab. She gave Rourke a sunny smile.
Dallas?
Had to make a stop. She'll be along.
Chill.
When they reached the lab, Callender pulled off her green coat with its purple sleeves and unwound her scarf. Under it, she sported a cap-sleeve sweater in puce over a long-sleeve turquoise tee, lime-green baggies, and buttercup-yellow knee boots. Between her and McNabb, it looked as if neon had invaded the planet. Then Feeney stepped in, wearing his habitual shit-brown jacket and wrinkled beige shirt. The contrast only made the neon glow more fiercely. He scratched his fingers through his wiry mop of silver-threaded ginger and studied the transported electronics with his baggy basset hound eyes.
Callender, let's you and me give these toys a what for while the others get set up.
Aye aye, Captain.
Rourke found it surprisingly easy to fall into work rhythm with a lab of cops. He shifted away from that work for a moment and ordered 3 large pizzas with a variety of toppings. His wife would mutter about it, but she'd eat. In the shorthand geek speak that made Eve's eyes glass over, he and McNabb worked out a plan of attack and, with Peabody on auxiliary, settled into it. Through the glass walls of the lab, Eve noted the sharp and colorful Callender chair dancing as she worked beside Feeney. Peabody huddled over a comp while McNabb stood, that bony white ass tick-tocking, and Rourke, suit jacket shed, sleeves rolled up, hair back in a leather thong, sat on a stool, dancing his fingers over a keyboard and a touch screen. She stepped in and frowned at the chatter. Why couldn't geeks just speak regular English?
Status?
We're running deep on your Vixies, Callender told her, in case something's buried or pinched.
Doing background, underlayment, Peabody said, on the 2 Rourke pulled.
Image matches on auto. Rourke continued to work. Analysis of facial elements. Probability run on possible reconstruction.
Got reports on the missings and presumed, McNabb added, and diving into searching cross on remaining names.
And there. See it? Rourke asked. McNabb shifted toward Rourke.
And there's the bingo. Collect the stuffed elephant.
Carol, Niles, George, licensed psychic and hypnotherapist, London, 2039 through 2044.
You could toss this image in the mix, Ian.
All about it.
A bit of trouble here.
Yeah, I see that. Eve stepped closer to read the data on the screen.
had a client walk out of his place, go to her son's place, and, Jesus, set fire to it. The son, his wife, and two children got out. The client didn't. She felt the pieces fall into place as she read on. Hallucinogens found in her system. By the time they traced her steps back to this Carol, and you have to wonder about anybody with three first names, he was in the wind. He could blow pretty far with the $750,000 he'd pulled from the dead client over 6 months. Some other clients dumped another $5 million in change on him during his London stint. See here? Rourke brought up another report. The son was taking legal steps to take over his mother's finances, citing mental and emotional instability, which gives Carol, or whatever the hell name, motive to get rid of the son and the client while he's at it. Drain them, eliminate them, and blow. He doesn't just blow, doesn't just shift away from one client to an easier mark, because deluding the client into killing a loved one is part of the whole. Maybe his end game. His name wasn't Carol. Peabody swiveled on her stool. Niles George Carroll, with that ID number, didn't exist before 2038. It's pretty good fake data, but there are holes, and when you go into them, it falls apart. Got more names here. Feeney leaned back in his chair. Dupre encoded them, sandwiched between other data.
Looks like she did the input about 3 this morning, Callender added. The way it reads, Dallas, these are all pre-your bogus Carol dude. 6 in total.
Let's throw them in. Which is the first?
First, if we figure this is chrono order, is Ravenwood.
Eve pulled up a stool next to Rourke's. I can run it, he began. Yeah, do that.
I'm taking Bright. If this is chrono, and Bright wasn't just a rhyme, this could be who he is now.
Kid on Simone. McNabb did his little boogie. Got your pattern clear as they come. Francois Simone, psychic advisor and spiritualist, New Orleans, 2053 to 2057, went missing on a sabbatical to South America, presumed dead.
3 to 4 years, each spot habitually, Eve said as she worked. He's still here. But probably not for long.
Callender, I want you to run a search for murder-suicides each location just prior to the fuckhead's exit. On it.
Rourke hit on 2 others, with the pattern holding. When the pizza arrived, Eve did indeed mutter, but grabbed a slice of pepperoni. The lab might have smelled like a pizzeria, with a sugary topping of fizzies, but the work got done.
Lewis Carroll Ravenwood, Rourke announced. McNabb, do a double, would you, to confirm this is the first?
Can do.
Daresbury, England, which, as I've spent a little time boning up on Lewis Carroll, was where Carroll was born and raised.
Not a coincidence, Eve stated.
I'd say not.
Spiritualist. Offering readings, consultations, seances, and past life regressions, 2022 to 2028.
His longest stint, it seems.
Pulling related data, I have an article or two. He claimed to be a connection of Carol himself through one of Carol's sisters, and was called to Daresbury by Carol's spirit, whom he also claimed to channel. He worked with his sister, not surprisingly, called Alice.
There's no sister mentioned in any of the other data on the other names.
Wouldn't be, Rourke confirmed, as she died in Daresbury in 2028.
Suicide.
Bang.
Eve's eyes narrowed.
Mira will make buckets of shrink juice with that.
And more so, as it was discovered Alice Ravenwood had been an addict with a taste for meth and LSD. She suffered from acute depression, and, after lacing a pot of tea with sedatives, served it to herself and her brother. She died. He nearly did. He left Daresbury soon after. There's nothing on him under that name past that.
I want to see the police report. Maybe he dosed the sister. Either way, it gave him his springboard for all the rest. Crazy bastard skins the clients, then picks one to recreate the...
Fucking A, I've got him! Carol Bright claims to be a doctor of paranormal studies. I've got a goddamn address.
Chapter 10. Bright sighed as he entered the lovely parlor where Miss Harriet March was setting out the service for tea.
My dear March, the time has come for us to move on. How do you feel about Budapest?
Hungry for goulash.
He chortled, giggled, slapped his thighs. That's the spirit. I've given notice. We'll begin packing after our session with the delightful Mrs. Melton.
Our mouse signaled they're on their way.
Excellent.
And will Mrs. Melton join her sister in the Wonderland?
He smiled at the avid look in her eyes. He'd been right to keep her. He'd sensed her potential when she'd first come to him, seeking communication with a lost love. A shadow of darkness inside her, so easily deepened with time and patience. And, of course, the tonic she'd become so fond of.
She and her husband will make their journey tonight, even as we make our own.
Eyes shining, she clapped her hands.
We've never sent two clients down the rabbit hole so close together. Isn't it fun?
Our time in New York has been so lucrative, and we waited so long for the first to go. I thought sending another would be our little farewell party.
And there she is now.
Would you get the door, Miss March?
Of course, Dr. Bright. The tea and cakes are all prepared.
Naturally, he thought, and swallowed the little tablet that would offset the tea. He checked himself in the mirror. His favorite looking glass had traveled with him around the world, and he decided he'd use his favorite top hat for this last session in New York. Then he turned to greet the marvelously wealthy and wonderfully hopeful Mrs. Melton. She came to him, both hands outstretched.
Oh, Dr. Bright, I've so looked forward to today. I'm so anxious to speak with my sister again.
There's nothing like a sister, he said with a wide, wide grin. Let's have some tea. It would, he thought, be a lovely party.
Eve planned her approach carefully. She and Peabody would go to the house, gain access. She circled the conference room where she'd assembled her team.
I want him in the box. Once we get him out, the search team, with the warrants, goes in. The detectives from illegals will handle the search for the drugs. McNabb and Callender take the electronics. And since the expert consultant civilian wants in, he's on finances. We want to establish Fitzwilliams paid him that $9,999 a session and do a secondary check to see if he scammed his way into her will, probably through the foundation. Look for false IDs, licenses, passports, and a client list. Check for recordings of the Fitzwilliams' murders and any others. She glanced around the room, nodded.
Peabody.
Set.
Let's hit it.
Rourke moved up beside her as they headed out.
He must have abilities. He'll try to read you. I know how to block.
Peabody's father's a sensitive, and he taught her how to filter. She's anxious about it, but we've got to go in. I want to see his place, see his reactions before we bring him in.
He's not working alone.
Thought of that?
This is what we do, Rourke.
He knew it all too well.
It's one thing when your body's on the line. This is your mind as well, so have a care with both.
Plan to. She separated from him in the garage, got into the car with Peabody.
I'm a little nervous, Peabody admitted.
What if he tries to put, don't say whammy? What if he tries to put the thing I'm not saying on us?
Think of sex with McNab.
Huh?
Didn't you say your father told you to fill your mind with other thoughts, confused and jumbled? Do that. Nobody's gonna want to keep pushing in if all he gets is you and McNab in sex.
Catching Peabody's smile, Eve hissed. Not now! Stop thinking about it now! It creeps me out!
Just practicing.
Happily, Peabody practiced all the way uptown. Rather than search for a space, Eve flipped up her on-duty light and double-parked. She didn't think this first stage would take above 15 minutes.
Wow! This place is really beautiful!
Peabody studied the wide, three-level townhouse as they approached.
It looked sort of European. I bet it's on the historic register. One of those great old buildings from the 19th century that survived the urbans.
We can admire the architecture later. Eve had been studying it as well. Doors, windows, exits. She doubted her quarry would rabbit, a loss of control and power, but she wanted the layout.
Cop face. No bullshit, straight out.
Sorry, I was thinking about sex with McNab.
I could learn to hate you, Eve threatened, and rang the bell.
Palm plate, cams, police locks, she noted. She stared stony-eyed ahead until the voice came through the intercom.
Please state your business!
Not a computer, she thought. Not with that squeaky tone. So, at least two to take on.
NYPSD. We need to speak with Dr. Bright.
Dr. Bright's unavailable. Go away and come back later.
You can open the door, or I'll stand right here until I get a warrant to open it myself.
And if he didn't, she'd use the warrant she already had. But the door opened a crack. She had to look down a half a foot to meet the eyes of the man with a wild thatch of brown hair. Those eyes had the pinkish tint of a funky junkie.
The doctor can't talk to you now!
Eve solved the first problem by getting her foot in the door, nudging it open a little wider.
Who are you?
I'm Dorbert Mouse. Who are you?
Lieutenant Eve Dallas.
Dormouse. It suited.
Why don't you tell Dr. Bright I'm here, along with Detective Peabody?
Because he can't be interrupted when he's communing with the other side!
The quick excitability spoke of something in addition to the funk.
He needs to commune with us.
Eve nudged the door wider still and saw the brightly colored painting of a hookah-smoking caterpillar curled on a toadstool.
Nobody invited you! Go away!
Look, Mouse. Or is that Dormouse?
His pink-rimmed eyes filled with rage. His nose twitched manically.
You can't see my whiskers! They're not for you to see!
He kicked her. The move so unexpected, his foot connected with her shin before she anticipated it. Then he ran, bolting up the steps.
Shit!
Call the E-team in for backup, she ordered, and pulled her weapon as she gave chase. He bounded up, with her and her aching shin in pursuit, and Peabody coming up behind her, shouting for the E-team to move in. He made a fast turn on the second-floor landing and vanished, but not before Eve caught the movement of a wall panel sliding shut. She tugged at it, got nothing, then ran her fingers along the carved chair rail. When the panel slid open again, she grabbed a statue of a white rabbit with an oversized pocket watch and used it to prop the panel open. Inside, in half-light, she saw crooked steps leading up and leading down. She closed her eyes for a moment, heard the sound of feet scrambling.
Up, she said. Watch your step.
She went up two at a time and caught sight of the shin kicker darting down an oddly slanted corridor toward a closed door. Blue light leaked under it. At a full run, she hit the door seconds after he scurried through and went in low, weapon sweeping. Mouse jumped up and down in the blue light, the blue fog, squealing about his whiskers. A woman with long dark hair giggled and swirled just outside the fog. She stopped when she saw Eve, and her face filled with rage.
Off with her head!
To Eve's bemusement, the woman hefted fisted hands over her head as if brandishing an axe, then charged. Because there was yet another woman, older, sitting in a chair blanketed with that blue mist, her head cocked under a feathered hat, her eyes glazed and glassy, Eve took the quickest route. Two short, hard left jabs put the charging woman down.
Stay out of this blue stuff, Peabody!
She caught a movement, saw through the blue curtain the tall, thin man in a purple top hat. Eyes wild and, yes, she supposed, mad with it. She pivoted toward him as the world went as mad as his eyes. Lights flashed, bright, multicolored lightning, while crazed laughter boomed. The floor seemed to tip right, then left, as she struggled to keep her balance. Images bloomed in the fog. A grinning cat, the caterpillar that puffed out more smoke, a fat white rabbit with a glinting pocket watch, and the man in the top hat who chortled gleefully while he poured tea into cups. A pretty blue bottle sat on a table, a white light beaming on it. A large label dangled from it. It said, "Drink me." And it was tempting. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw Peabody step forward, start to reach out. And snapping back, Eve grabbed her arm, yanked.
"Don't!" "But it says!"
She saw now they'd stepped too close, that the fog twined around them. Feeling lightheaded, she shoved Peabody clear, stumbled back. She thought she heard voices echoing and running feet pounding. More coming to the party. She barely swallowed down the giggle that rose to her throat and aimed her stunner at what she hoped was the man in the hat and not some illusion.
"Turn this shit off now, or I'll put you down!"
"No need," Rourke said, and the flashing lights fell with a resounding crash, or so it seemed to Eve. The mist crawled back on tiny blue feet to be swallowed up by a gaping mouth in the floor.
"Shit! Shit! I inhaled!"
"You'll be all right." Rourke hauled the man in the hat away from some sort of computer. The computer became a fat cat that yawned and stretched, then curled up to sleep.
"Mind taking him?"
Rourke passed the Mad Hatter to Callender.
"No prob." "Hey, asshole."
"You're not the White Queen."
"No, I'm an e-bitch goddess. Illegals coming in, McNabber. I'm bringing in the wagon for this group."
"Yeah, good." He was on the floor, cuddling Peabody, who patted his cheek and smiled dreamily.
"Hi, sweetie. Wanna have lots and lots of sex?"
"Yeah, that'd be frosty. How about we get you some air first?"
"What the hell's in that stuff?"
he asked Rourke. "A wild trip, I'd say, but hardly fatal, as the three of these had their share. Best call in the MTs."
"Oh, man, don't call them."
Eve waved the idea away with her stunner. Rourke gently took it from her.
"I'm fine. We're all fine. Got the bad guys. Somebody ought to do something with the lady over there. She is out of it."
"The MTs will see to her." But his wife was Rourke's priority.
"Okay, good.
She probably thinks she's talking to a dead relative." Rourke put a supporting arm around her waist and let her out.
"I gotta secure the scene and investigate."
"The illegals detectives can handle that part now." He thought about telling her to mind the stairs, then just solved it by picking her up.
"You're so pretty."
"The mouse kicked me in the shin." Giggling, she kicked her feet.
"I fell down the rabbit hole."
"So it would seem. I didn't like it."
I like being here with you better.
She was placid enough sitting on his lap while an MT examined her, and perfectly cooperative when he bundled her into the car. As he drove, he could see her start to come back by the way her body lost that pliancy and her eyes started to clear.
And there you are. Take this.
What?
Jesus!
She shoved at her hair, and the raging headache under her skull, knocking off the snowflake hat she knew she hadn't put on for the trip to Bright's.
It's for the headache the medicals promised you'd have when you started coming down.
And drink this. He passed her a bottle of water as he continued to drive downtown.
Just water. You'll be dehydrated a bit.
Her throat felt as though she'd swallowed sand. She took the stupid pill, guzzled the water.
Bright. In custody. All three of them. You dealt with it, Lieutenant, impaired or not. That's the cop in you.
What impaired me?
It's quite a cocktail, according to the lab, as it's the same, assuredly, as what Darlene Fitzwilliams inhaled. Fortunately, you and Peabody didn't have more than a whiff or two.
Peabody?
She's right here.
Eve turned around at McNabb's voice, saw her partner curled up with her head on his lap, sleeping.
She's okay? They said she'd just sleep it off, and a single exposure like the two of you had wouldn't have any lasting effects.
He stroked Peabody's hair as he spoke.
But I contacted Louise, as you'd want her to know what happened,
Rourke continued. She's on her way into Central, as we are, and she'll have a look at both of you.
I'm fine. I'm starving. I want...
Rourke activated the auto chef, which produced a large bag of soy chips.
Oh, yeah. Fucker drugged me, she said with her mouth full of chips. I hate that. He's gonna... Oh, Jesus Christ. There was a woman in the chair.
Andrea Melton, Rourke told her. The MTs transported her to the hospital. She was heavily dosed, and likely routinely dosed, but they know what he used and they'll treat her. I need to talk to her. Tomorrow, at least, for that.
Not for Bright, or whatever his name is. That's for tonight.
And good luck with it. Rourke pulled into Central. Want a hand with her, Ian?
No, I... Well, maybe.
Together, they got Peabody out, on her feet, where she smiled cheerfully.
Hi! Did we get them?
Yeah. Eve led the way to the elevator. We got them.
Yay!
I feel really whooshy.
Tell me about it.
Are those soy chips? Can I have some soy chips?
Eve gave her the bag as they got into the elevator. Don't you have a headache?
No, I...
Peabody's entire face winced.
Ow! Here we are.
Gently, Rourke slipped the pill between her lips and offered her the bottle of water he'd had in his pocket.
Okay, thanks. He's so pretty,
she said to Eve. Yeah, I know.
Mine, too. So pretty. But my head hurts, and I'm starving. I'm not supposed to be harsh about my body image, so I'm eating these chips.
Take her up to the crib, Eve advised. Louise can take a look at her up there. If she's clear, take her on home. Good job all around, McNabb.
Thanks.
Too tired for the glides, Eve rode all the way to Homicide, gave her partner a last look, and got off so McNabb could continue to the crib.
I need to put all this together, then take on the Hatter and his crazy crew. I don't need Louise.
I have some lines. He kept hold of her hand as they walked.
And one of them is, you'll get checked by a doctor before you finish this. If you argue, I'll be forced to mention to your division that you giggled.
I did not!
Shit. I did. I half remember.
Fine, fine. But I want coffee and lots of it. And that's my line.
Agreed.
She decided it was just as well she'd made the deal, as both Charles and Louise were waiting in her office.
Let me look at you. Sit.
Coffee. Rourke nudged her into her chair and went to the auto chef while Louise opened her medical bag. She took Eve's wrist in her hand.
Pulse is strong and regular. Follow this light with your eyes only.
Eve rolled them first, then obeyed.
Peabody? Charles asked.
Coming around, McNabb took her up to the crib. We're fine. But Louise still took out a bunch of tools that made Eve scowl. She poked, prodded, scanned, measured, then nodded.
You are fine.
She took Eve's hand again.
Thank you. Thank you for myself, for Charles, for Henry.
I haven't finished it yet, but you will.
He's staying with us for a while, Henry. We can go home and tell him you have the person responsible. It'll help.
I'll let you get to it. I want to see Peabody.
Before they left, Charles leaned over, kissed the top of her head.
Thanks for everything, Lieutenant Sugar.
It's the job.
She blew out a breath when they left.
I probably need you to fill in some blank spots.
When he turned on the light show, I must have been disoriented enough to turn into that mist, just enough. But I had my stunner on him, I remember that.
You did. Callender dealt with the other man, the little one, and McNabb pulled Peabody out of the mist.
You'd knocked her back. I saw that as I came in, but she stumbled into it again. I found the controls, shut down the program, and restrained the suspect.
I'm assuming you took care of the woman who was laid out on the floor, sporting a hell of a bruise on her face.
Yeah, and yeah.
Okay, I got it.
Nice assist, pal.
I need IDs on all of them.
No ID on record for the Hatter.
The woman is Willow Bateman. A few minor bumps prior to 2054 when she lived in New Orleans, then off the grid.
I'm guessing that's when she hooked up, one way or the other, with...
Okay, the Hatter works.
The other man is Maurice Xavier. A number of bumps there, and some time in a cage for aggravated assault. He, too, drops off the grid 3 years ago.
Same deal, most likely.
I'm gonna have the head guy brought up. I think the other two were heavily under the influence, so I'll wait on them.
You're gonna hang, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Figured. Let me set this up so I can box him in, then shut him down.
Looking forward to it, Rourke said.
I'll take myself up to EDD, find the money, and help you close the door.
Have fun with that.
No question of it.
Epilogue. After the Hatter was brought in, Eve took a few minutes in observation to study him. Tall and skinny, long face, long body, he sat in his prison jumpsuit with a cagey smile on his face and eyes of so pale a gray they seemed almost colorless.
Confident and cocky, she concluded, at least on the outside. But she noted the way his fingers tap-tap-tapped on the table as if he played a tune on invisible keys.
He figures his ability gives him an edge, she said to Peabody. That'll read us and use that to tangle things up.
Or put the you-know-what on us.
You can skip this, she reminded her partner. I told McNabb to take you home.
No way I'm missing this part. Should I think of sex with McNabb again?
Whatever works. She pulled out her link, read the detailed message from Rourke.
The man is good. She murmured.
Three hidden accounts, three different names, all leading back to the Hatter, who, according to Feeney's search, is actually Lewis Carroll Ravenwood, born Devonshire, England in 1999. One sibling, Alice.
So he was who he was until the sister self-terminated.
Prior to, he and the sister, big surprise, worked the carny circuit. Eve looked back through the glass. Add the money and the false IDs to the whole bunch of drugs illegals found in his house, and he's not going to look so happy when we're done. Let's go wipe that smile off his face. He looked over as they came in, and his smile turned into a grin.
Dallas, Lieutenant Eve, and Peabody Detective Delia entering interview with Ravenwood, Lewis Carroll.
I'm Dr. Bright.
Eve just kept speaking. On the matters of case numbers, she reeled off many as she took a seat across from him.
Mr. Ravenwood, I prefer Dr. Bright.
You've been read your rights, she continued. Do you understand your rights and obligations in these matters?
I understand perfectly, and so much more.
How are you feeling?
Better than you will.
A hell of a lot better than your two pals are.
They're getting jittery.
That's what happens when addicts don't get their fix.
I figure they'll roll on you within 24, but I don't need them.
Peabody, why don't you list the illegals found in our guest's home?
Peabody took out her PPC and crisply read off the report from illegals.
Quite a collection.
She kept her eyes on his, actually felt him try to probe her thoughts, and pushed her will against his.
That alone is going to get you a nice long stay in a cage.
Add in using said illegals on individuals without their consent or knowledge, they come to me.
He played his fingers in the air.
They come seeking my help. I give them what they seek. We cross the bridge together, and the crossing requires peace. A quiet mind, quiet, relaxed, still.
His fingers played, as if stroking a purring cat.
Imagine drifting under a blue sea, under a blue sky. See the clouds, white and soft.
He had something, she thought, and it pulled. But it wasn't enough without the kick of his herbs and chemicals.
She leaned closer.
You think you can mesmerize me?
You're a fraud. You've been a fraud your whole life. You just figured out how to use a mediocre talent to get rich and feel important.
Mediocre!
He slapped his hands on the table. My gift is beyond. My beyond is genius.
Your gift is bullshit, Ravenwood.
Or should I call you Niles Carroll? Maybe Angus Rowlin, or Anton Zakari, or Francois Simon?
Something flickered in his eyes, the first hint of fear.
I have many names. My gift demands it.
Gift, she snorted.
I've seen carnies with more than you have.
That's where you started, right?
She pushed up, moved around the table, coming at him from behind.
Telling fortunes, getting people to quack like a duck at some two-bit carnival? You and your sister.
His body jerked.
Be quiet.
Golly.
Peabody widened her eyes.
You're pissing him off, Lieutenant.
Am I? Does it piss you off to talk about your sister? Did you feed her the drugs that hooked her, or did she do it to herself?
Why did she try to kill you?
Did one of your sessions go south?
Or maybe you just had enough of her, drugged her up good, faked the whole thing so you could kill her.
She killed herself.
Like Darlene Fitzwilliams? Like,
wait, let me read your mind.
She held her hands over his head, swayed.
I feel their spirits reaching out to me.
Marion Beecham in London.
Fiona McNee in Edinburgh.
Sylvia Garth in Prague.
Get away from me!
He shrieked it, but Eve continued to list names.
All women, like your sister.
I bet he couldn't bring her back, Peabody said.
She wouldn't come, not after what he did to her.
Shut up! Shut your mouth! You can't speak! Your tongue is tied! Your throat is closed!
Peabody's lips clamped together. Her eyes widened as she lifted her hands to her throat, choked and gasped, then dropped them.
Nope, I can speak just fine.
Good one, Eve thought. She glanced at her link, read Rourke's text, smiled, then walked around the table again.
Jesus, the guy believes his own shtick.
No good without the tea party and the mists, the lights,
the hats. What is it with the hats?
Carney's like props, Peabody suggested. Maybe he'll pull a white rabbit out of one.
Or a March Hare. But her name's really Willow Bateman, and she'll do all kinds of flips on you.
Ms. March is loyal.
To your illegals cocktails, sure, but without them...
You shouldn't have pitched your pathetic ability against someone like Dupre.
She's the real deal, and she gave us everything we needed to shut you down.
Impossible!
He flicked his hands in the air.
Why?
Because you slipped your ugly little mix into her tea leaves? Because you went to her, drugged her, then picked Fitzwilliams out of her client list? And while she was drugged, you planted the order for her to kill herself if she remembered, if she was questioned?
Jesus! She lives over a restaurant! Did you really think no one would see you go up to her place?
I didn't go! I sent Ms. March!
Right. Eve sat again. You sent Bateman posing as a client, and she laced the tea. And Mouse, that's Maurice Xavier, brought them to you. Fitzwilliams, now. Such an easy mark, and such deep pockets.
Wait.
She pressed a hand to her temple.
I'm getting another psychic flash. $9,999. Cash.
Such a fat fee for you, but
there's more. That well-heeled foundation. Millions to pump from that.
What's that?
What?
Yes, I can almost see it.
There! The Looking Glass Fund!
Get out of my head!
The madness was back in his eyes.
You can't see! I want my hat! Give me my hat!
You really think your stupid hat can stop me from seeing?
The amazing Dallas sees all, knows all.
You had to get rid of them both. Push Darlene to make a $12 million bequest to your shell charity and get rid of them both. For the money and the satisfaction. Sister, brother, just like you and Alice. He bared his teeth, all fury now.
I can make you beat your head against the wall until you're dead.
Try it. She reared up, pushed her face into his.
Just try it!
I'm not drugged and grieving like your victims. You sent Darlene to kill her brother. You gave her the shears. What did she think they were? Candy? Wine? Flowers?
Flowers, she repeated when she saw his eyes shift.
I'm sorry we argued, Marcus. I brought you flowers. And she stabbed him in the heart. Then she jumped off his terrace, hallucinating. Thinking what? She was walking on the beach, stepping into her own house? It doesn't matter. You killed her. Killed them both.
And for what?
For money.
For money and entertainment. And to feel powerful.
I am powerful. I gave her what she wanted, didn't I?
She's with her parents.
I gave her what she asked for.
I deserve the money. I want my money. I want my hat.
He beat his fists on the table, his feet on the floor.
You'll kill each other before the night is through. I can make you, like I made all the others. You'll cut each other to ribbons, ribbons of blood, and with blood we'll paint all the roses red.
He took a deep breath, and the shoulders that had come up to his ears relaxed again.
Now, have Ms. March fetch the tea.
His fingers played in the air again as he stared into Eve's eyes, smiled. We're having tea. It's my tea party, and it never, never ends. I've got news for you. The party's over. When they'd finished with him, at least for the night, Eve had him taken down to where he'd be held in the psych section on suicide watch. Mira's gonna have a hell of a time with him, Eve said. We'll take the other two in the morning. We'll see what kind of mood they're in after a night without their particular brand of tea. She watched Rourke come out of observation. I regret to say, I do believe he's mad as a hatter. Probably, Eve agreed. That's up to Mira. And I don't give a rat's ass if he spends the rest of his life in a concrete cage or a padded room. Either way, he's done. He gave me the creeps, Peabody shuddered. It didn't show. Well, he did. And if it's okay with you, I'm heading home and staying away from you until morning, so we don't end up cutting each other to ribbons. For Christ's sake, Peabody, why take chances? I'll write it up, but I'll write it up at home, with McNabb sort of keeping an eye on me. Fine. I'm going to hell home myself. And I'll keep an eye on her, Rourke promised Peabody. She went to her office for her coat. He has something. She circled her neck. Not nearly what he's deluded himself into believing he has. Most of it hinged on the drugs. Wherever he ends up, he won't have them, but he needs careful watching. He was afraid of you. Afraid you have more than he does. Rourke tapped the dent in her chin. Perhaps you do. Not a psychic. Just a cop who knows how to read killers. I have a hypnotic suggestion of my own. This time, he laid a finger on her forehead. You want to go home with me and have lots and lots of sex. You putting the whammy on me, Ace? I certainly intend to. As they walked out, he pulled the snowflake hat out of his pocket, fixed it on her head. What the hell, she thought. As hats went, it was warm and pretty sweet. We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Wonderment in Death by J.D. Robb, performed by Susan Erickson, engineered by Kevin Klempel. Performance copyright 2015 by Brilliance Audio, all rights reserved.